Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
Join us in singing hymn number 208 that's found in the bulletin for the communion.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the Revelation to John. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In early 2008, my wife had emergency surgery. And as is often the case in these kinds of situations, nobody really knew much of what was going on, least of all the husband, me. And there was one person's ministry that really stood out and touched my heart in a deep and meaningful way. And his name is Father Ed Hunt. He was a good friend of ours who is the rector of Zion Episcopal Church in Rome, New York, which is where we were living at the time. And on that day when everything was just going crazy, Father Ed came to the hospital, sat with me in the waiting room, brought Chinese takeout, and said nothing. And that was really, really beautiful and meaningful. It was the best possible thing Ed could have said in that time. Just sit with me. Just be with me. Until the doctor came out at the end of the procedure, said everything went very well, and glad to report that my wife is doing just fine today. It is a really hard temptation when someone that we love or care about is in a major crisis of some kind to show up and to want to desperately do something or want to say something. It just feels like we're supposed to do something, say something. But for those of us who have ever been the person in the middle of some kind of major crisis, we probably remember best those who showed up for us and said nothing and were just with us in the midst of whatever it was we were going through. And when we think of those who showed up and tried to do or say lots of different things, we might particularly remember those as being less than helpful. The ministry of presence is a really powerful ministry of the church. And that is exactly the ministry that we see going on in our first reading this morning from the Acts of the Apostles. The story opens with telling us about a beloved member of the church named Tabitha. She was a woman whose husband had passed away. She was a seamstress, we heard from the text, and was someone who was very active in the church and in the ministry of the church. And this person, as frequently happens to folks, as eventually happens to us all, got sick and died. And the members of the church did what many of us do when we are the ones in crisis. They called for their priest, which at that point was Peter, who was passing through the region. They said, "Will you please come?" And Peter said, "Yes, I'll be right there." And I think it's really interesting to note what Peter said throughout that process, which is nothing. Peter doesn't speak for this whole first section of the text. Peter comes and he listens and he's with the members of this community while they are going through this tragic loss. A time of crisis, time when there's nothing to be said or done. But nevertheless, Peter is there and Peter is with them as they say, "Oh, we loved her. Look at these beautiful dresses she used to make. Wasn't she wonderful?" And Peter's just practicing that ministry of presence. And he's just with them. And then something really interesting starts to happen. Peter asks everybody to leave the room. That's a critical turning point in this text. because he gets everyone to leave and then he kneels down and prays. And in that moment, it's just Peter sitting alone with Tabitha's body. In the space of ultimate silence, in this room, there is only death. And in that moment, after all of the silence and death, in the midst of the deepest, darkest loneliness, then Peter speaks. And he says, "Tabitha, get up." And that's when something happens that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to our rational minds. Something that defies the laws of physics as we understand them, because in that moment, then there was life, where a moment before there was no life. It was not something that undid the hardness or the difficulty of what had just happened, but alongside of this death, there was also life, in a way that we don't understand and that our rational minds can't make sense of. The ministry of presence is a powerful ministry. And I'm really glad that we get this snippet of pastoral care from the early church in this reading this morning, because it is an echo of the way that God works in our lives, both 2,000 years ago, and still in the life of this church, in this community today. We believe and we celebrate every year that in Christ, the Word of God took on flesh and came to dwell among us. God entered fully into the human condition with all of its tragedy, all of its comedy, and all of its irony. Sometimes all of its absurdity. And in Christ, God is with us, loving us up close and personal. This, we believe as Christians, is how God saves the world. It is how God heals the world. It is, in Hebrew, tikkun olam, how God fixes the world. Not by fixing it all, but by being with and entering fully into the tragedy of human condition. And that, we see in this reading, is what the church is called to continue. To enter fully into the condition of the world around us. To face tragedy, not only head on, but up close and personal. Even when we don't know what to say or what to do, even if there is nothing that could be said or done to make things better in a particular situation, our calling is still to get up close and personal with tragedy and with suffering and with death, and to bear witness as sometimes new life is born in ways that we don't fully understand. It's a hard calling, but it's a worthwhile one. Because we will get to be there in those moments that matter most, the moments that people remember the most. When they won't remember what others say or do, but they'll remember, we were there when it really counted. And because that is who God is with us, and that is how God loves us, up close and personal. Amen.
As you are able, please stand and join with me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that he has seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us
us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Spirit who is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Lord, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
All-prevailing God, your unconquerable love is manifest in the resurrection of Christ.
The risen one appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. Help us to cherish our world as the greenhouse of life, caring for our environment and all people as the ones for whom Christ lived, died, and rose.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Carrying gently for all your people, living hopefully along the way.
The risen one appeared to the disciples in the locked room of their fears. Help the nations of the world and all in authority to be gentle and respectful with people's hopes and anxieties. We pray for Donald, our president, Gretchen, our governor, and the mayors of Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities. We pray for all who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, and Stephen.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Serving the helpless, working for equity, living hopefully along the way. The risen one appeared by the sea. We remember before you those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, especially Josh, Jody, Rachel, and John.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Proclaiming the resurrection, comforting those who mourn, living hopefully along the way.
The risen one was known by the good works he had done. We pray for the mission and ministry of St. Luke's Church, asking you to call forth new leaders, new workers, and fresh vitality.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Putting our spirituality in action, living hopefully along the way. The risen one was known by the commandment to love one another. We pray for all who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Marilyn, Virginia, Judy, Teresa, Judy, Pam, Diane, Helen, Reed, Mary, and Dick.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Advocating for health and salvation, living hopefully along the way.
The risen one was known by the sending of the Advocate. We pray for the Spirit to empower the worldwide Anglican Communion, Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays, Val, Alan, Jennifer, John, Christopher, Elise, Aiden, Hayden, Molly and Carla, those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Amy and Randy, Sally and Mike, Janice and Dennis, Josie and Ryan, Sherry and Patrick, Jennifer and Brian, and Lucy and Randy, and those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Ethan, Aurelia, Amy, Joyce, Madeline, DeForest, and Charles.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one. Gracious and loving God, for no merit on our part, you have brought us out of death into life, out of sorrow into joy. Put no end to your gifts, fulfill your marvelous acts in us, and grant to us who have been justified by faith the strength to persevere in that faith. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And thankfully, the Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with loving kindness.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Sarah, Dakota, and Sue, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. Those to whom we go, we who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our...
As you are able, please stand.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us, and remain with us forever. Amen.
In peace, to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.